T-O-T-D-I-S.
NFLK listening, this is N8FLK. On frequency, this is N8FLK listening. I'm sure there was a station trying to make it in there, but nothing came through.
KF8AYL monitoring. Enjoy my cigar here for the night.
Well, it's been a long time since I've said that.
Yeah, much to my wife's chagrin.
Yeah, where's this country of origin?
The cigar tonight is Liba V, standard, not the Milanio. Yeah, I don't like the Milanios. The standard Liba V, I believe it's Nicaragua.
No kidding, Central America.
It's one.
That's like. Nicaragua is like the top end of South America or Central America, isn't it?
I believe it's kind of like Central America, like pretty much as central as you can get. But yeah, all the big Cuban families moved out during the embargo for 20 years in the U.S., and they all moved to Central America, so that's where all they're from now.
Yeah, that's something. I bet you they don't give those away.
They're not, I mean, if you go to a cigar shop and buy one, yeah, it's going to be $18, $20, but if you buy a box, you get it down to about $5 a cigar.
Yep. They start hand rolling them like that, you're going to pay the price.
Yeah, that's all right. I like a good cigar, so I'll pay for it.
Last time, well, I tell you what, it must have been about 97, I had a Cuban that come up through Mexico, and it wasn't a counterfeit, and it was pretty good, but they lost a lot of that down there, you know. That Cuba got messed up, and, you know, a lot of them families got up out of there before they got diced up, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened when the U.S. put these sanctions on them and said no more imports. And that persisted for 5, 10, 15 years. The families moved out to Central America and said, we're just going to go make our cigars over here where there's the same kind of climate and soil. We can make the same thing and sell it to the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was not good what happened to some of those people down there. About like Venezuela. That was bad. Yeah, Nicaragua was right next to Honduras. I've talked to both them places before.
Yeah, Honduras has a couple of good families, cigars, too.
Honduras, Belize, Guatemala. I've talked to every one of those countries down there. Panama, Colombia, Venezuela. I used to talk to Venezuela all the time. Not so much anymore. I've talked to an awful lot of those countries on 20. It's easy on 20, though, you know. When you start doing it on other bands that aren't quite that easy. Although 10's a pretty good... has been pretty good off and on here recently. Ben's my favorite band when it's open by a long shot. It's so easy when it opens up, it's just so easy to make a contact to those places.
Yeah, I got a general a few months ago, so I upgraded to the general a little bit ago, but yeah, I haven't done too much of that yet. Got too much other stuff going on right now, but I'll get there.
Yeah, my girlfriend just passed the general exam with 100%. About fell over. I didn't pass it with that good a score, but her birthday just went by, or is not quite here yet, actually. But I already gave her a gift. I got her one of those Zaiku G90s. With a built-in auto-tuner, little 20-watt all-mode radio. And so I got to get her on the air with that.
Yeah, this radio I'm on now will actually do 10 and 20 meters. And 6. Yeah, it's... But I need antennas for that, which I don't have. I know I can make them with just a piece of wire or something. But I haven't had the fortitude to do that yet.
I remember I made my first 10-meter antenna out of a lamp cord and a piece of coax. My first call was KC2X in Orlando, Florida. I was living in Columbusville at the time. What kind of rig does all that?
Well, nobody ever likes when I say it, but it's an Wuxin Ocean. It's a UV980P, so it does four bands. It's actually, man, this radio has been rock solid. I've been using it for 2 years. It's an awesome radio. I have no complaints.
Is it all mode? I mean, you'd think it would be working 10 and 20.
It does it because I've talked on the CB bands on it when I put the CB antenna on it, so it does that. It's all open, so I don't know. It's a good radio. Yeah, I know a lot of people frown upon it, but I don't have any complaints.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, does it like fine tune? I mean, were you listening and using single sideband?
So it does not do sideband. So that's a huge deal. So, but it's just a mobile 50-watt radio that does the four bands.
Yeah, you probably won't use it much on 10 or 20 then, unless it does AM via double sideband. You'd be able to work something with double sideband, but man, I've talked to a couple people using that. Somebody comes on there, usually they get upset that you're running double sideband with suppressed carrier. But it works.
Yeah, I got a Yaesu base station that does kind of all that stuff. I don't remember the model number anymore, but I don't have an antenna for it. I need to hook up some antennas for it.
I'll tell you, if you've got trees, there's no substitute for something that's resonant, especially if you're doing lower power. And I really, really like doing QRP and QRPP. I've worked all up and down the East Coast with less than 1 watt.
Well, I'm in the middle of the forest, so there's trees everywhere. So, the UHF and VHF doesn't always work the best because of the trees.
Fan dipole is a fun one to build. And, I don't know if I'd use a cheaper radio on it if I didn't have a way of checking the harmonics, but because you can be on two bands at one time. And people get excited about that, too. I witnessed it once when I first got into radio. I heard a guy that was on two bands, real solid. And he had filtration issues and a multi-banded antenna. But there's fan dipole is a good one. And then loaded dipoles. I hate traps, are kind of lossy, but a fan dipole will get you through a whole lot of stuff if you get it trimmed up and running decent.
Yeah, I hear you. I definitely hear you. Yeah, it's just, I don't have a whole bunch of time to mess around with a lot of different stuff right now. Business. My wife hates me. trying to build a house up north. Yeah, there's lots of stuff going on, but I'll get there. I'll get there, I'm sure.
You guys building up in the UP?
Yeah, I got property there with a house, and I'm building a barn. I'm doing my own barn. I'm building it myself. I don't know if you've heard that from here or on the other side or what, but yeah. Yeah, that would be me.
We talked to you coming across on 2 on 146520 when we were heading up to Keweenaw when that Northern Lights storm hit. And either there or coming back, I don't remember. We talked to you maybe on one of the repeaters up there. But it was towards the fall. It was still warm out. Whenever that solar storm hit, but yeah, I talked to you on Simplex, I'm pretty sure. But I was shocked at how many people I talked to on Simplex coming across the UP. Came in for OE.
Yeah, I try that a lot. I try the Simplex a lot when I'm traveling across the UP, especially on clear, nice nights when you can see everything, and it's like, oh, this looks like it's going to be a bridge or that. I'm just going to throw some coals out and see what I can as I'm traveling across. So, yeah, that was probably then.
I've talked to you a couple times since here in this machine. I got a buddy that's up there by, he's got a place way out in the woods up by the hills. There about half an hour, 45 minutes northeast of Skeeny. Skeeny?
That city doesn't ring a bell, but okay.
That little town is about a half an hour further north, coming out of Lance.
Half hour north of Lance. Skeeny? Maybe. I don't know. The place we have is just outside of Houghton. So, I go through Lance all the time.
Yeah, we were staying north of Houghton and not Calumet. Oh, what's the name of that place? No. What's the name of the place where they live? Hold on a second. Yeah, I think she's calling us Boston Station. We were south of Calumet, some little hole in the wall. I mean, way out in the middle of nowhere is where we were staying while we were up there. But they got about 68-foot of cupola furnace chimney right still behind their place, and it's backed right up to this pond. It's out literally in the middle of nowhere.
Well, that's quite common in the UP, actually. The place we have actually has a hat mill on it, and we own a 200-foot smokestack, so, yeah, that's on our property. Don't tell my insurance company.
Yeah, I guess about 40 feet or more. Was it 40 feet from the top of it come down?
Yeah.
And there's, like, steam ports and all sorts of stuff there. You could tell where the steam engine was that they ran the place with. Some of them, there's some huge abutments, and there's a giant sack of clink, you know, coal clink back there. I would say 100 feet tall. It's a hill I don't know how many tons this hill must be, but it covers must cover anywhere from about 2 to 5 acres, and it's got to be about 100 feet tall, where the fuel they burned off to smelt this copper.
that area is kind of known for that whole thing. So those areas are kind of known all around that area. So it's quite permanent.
Not good water there, though.
Yeah, it's actually funny. The wells in my area don't do so well. So my well is fine, but all my neighbors are complaining about wells that don't produce water. But we're all on Lake Superior, so it's like, yeah, it's kind of a weird thing.
One big, if you're anywhere up there, that's one big volcanic mess, and there is an awful lot of rock there, and there's layers and layers. That ridge is huge.
Well, what the well driller guy says is, and the neighbors all say, is their wells go salty. So they drill a well, they get water, there's no problem. It works fine for a year or two or three, and then their wells go salty. I have no idea how that works, but that's what everybody says. Mine hasn't done it, and I just sit there and go, mine's fine. I'm all right. I don't think I want to hear these stories of your wells going salty.
It's sucking the brine out of the sulfur out of the coal mines.
Yeah, our property actually had a different well. There's another well that's on it that's dead, but they had moved it at one point. So apparently that one went salty. But I think where it's at now is fine, because it's in a spot where it's literally bubbling up on the surface at times. So I don't think there's any problem. I don't think I'm going to have any problems, but that's what I hope, anyway.
Lived in a town up in the thumb. I'm not going to name the town, but the water was like drinking matchheads. And the kids I had working for me, I had about 8 kids working for me, helping me do remodels and stuff up there. The one kid grabbed the salt shaker. I had distilled water up there. He poured a glass of it, and he goes, "Ugh!" He grabbed the salt shaker off the table and shook it about 5 times into his cup of water, stirred it up, and he was happy then.
Well, people from the city are used to certain water, and I've always been on wells, and we have people over for Christmas or events or whatever, and they're never happy with our water. We got to keep bottled water on hand for them, but I don't know. I think it's better, personally. That's just my personal opinion, but who knows?
I've owned several houses, and I've hand-drove enough wells and drank from them, including jet pump-style wells and just shallow wells that are not even legal to drink from anymore, and mostly just blow sand up here, gravel. Not up here, down around Columbiaville, and always had well water, and then I get moved back to the village of Columbiaville, and probably every 3 to 5 gallons I get a half a cup of some type of salt, potassium, calcium, sodium, whatever it is, when I'm distilling it, and I have to keep rinsing that thing out, dumping it out, but it's kind of like a water softener stuck on.
Yeah, I hear you on that. It can be different areas can have different things going on, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're on wells. The one's worse than the other ones, but there's a lot of oil wells around, a lot of brine, And those wells are huge that feed that village. And, I mean, it could be worse, but it could be a lot better, too. But I distill everything I drink from that place. A lot of cancer. All right, I'm going to bail. I'm going to head in. We just got done running around a little bit. I'm out here mobiling around. And nice hear from you again. I'll be on. I mean, I'm monitoring this thing all the time, but I wouldn't mind getting a chunk of dirt up there in the UP. I just don't want to get a big chunk of dirt that I have to maintain a lot. It's nice going up there in the summer, but I don't know how much more cold I can handle. I'm getting old. 73, this is KB80OE.
All right, sir, yep. Have a good night. Enjoy the rest of your evening. This is KF8, KYO.
Yeah, my name.